Let's pray. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher kidshanu b'mitzvotav vetzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with your commandments and commanded us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. I enjoy the challenge of reading the Torah portion and Haftorah every week and paying attention to what gets my attention. Every time that I'm reading the Torah portion, I'm starting all over again and I'm looking as if I've never read it before, and I'm trying to notice something that I hadn't noticed before. So this week when I was reading Parshat Terumah, the Parsha of the offering that is lifted up. Terumah is a special kind of offering. It's the offering that's like the cream from the top. You take the best from the top and you lift that up to the Lord. As I was reading it, I couldn't help but notice one thing, and that was how fantastic the Lord speaks to Israel about his favor. He says something that is absolutely amazing to me in Exodus chapter 25. I'll read to you just the first few verses, and I want you to listen to this one phrase in here that just caught my attention. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel that they bring me an offering from everyone who gives it willingly with his heart. You shall take my offering. And this is the offering you shall take from them: gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen and goat's hair, ram skins dyed red, badger skins and acacia wood, oil for the light and spices for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense, onyx stones and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate, and let them make me a sanctuary so that I may dwell among them." It was that last verse that really caught my attention. Let them make for me a sanctuary so that I can dwell among them. It was as if the Lord was saying, I want to live with you. I want to live with Israel. I want to be so close. I want you to make a house for me. And of course, we all know that no house can contain the eternal Almighty God. But nevertheless, he wanted a dwelling place among the Jewish people. Can you imagine if God would come to your door? You go home tonight, you're getting ready for bed, you're in your PJs or your robe or something, and the doorbell rings or there's a knock on the door, and you open it and it's God Almighty. And he says, I want to move in. That's what God said to Israel. I want to live with you. I want to dwell with you. And as I was reading this, I understood that it was only because of God's favor that he would make such a statement. This was not because Israel deserved the living presence of God. It wasn't because of Israel's achievement. This was not earned by the Jewish people. It was unmerited favor, unmerited grace. Favor and grace in Hebrew are the same thing. Chen. Say that word. Chen. Favor. Say that. Favor. Grace. These are the same things in God's eyes. And it's not what you earn that's favor, because those what you earn are your wages. Favor is undeserved. And God is expressing in this his love. He's saying to Israel, I love you so much, I want to dwell with you. I want to move into your neighborhood. I want all of you to live around me and to be in my presence. And God, who is love, is looking for those who respond to his love with love. So God expresses love, and then he takes a step, if you will, a step back, and he looks. Who responds? Who responds when God is showing love? Not everyone does. Some people receive the love of God and they ignore it. Some people experience the love of God and they're dissatisfied or discontent because it comes in a way they didn't want. Well, I didn't want that. I wanted this other thing. God's love is not coercive. He freely gives it. And it's to be freely received. And yet it is two-way love. True love, in fact, is two ways. It may start with one initiating, but it has a reciprocation, a response. If you love someone and they don't love you back, something's not right. God enjoys being with his people. That's why he says, I want to live with you. Now, I was trying to imagine. Actually, I remembered the situation when Sandy and I were living overseas. And we came to visit with our daughter and her family in their home. And it felt so comfortable to be there. We were typically on the road, I would say 60, 70% of the time. And there was one year when we slept either on trains or in other places, for 200 and some nights in the year. And I know that because Sandy was keeping track. But there was this moment when we were staying with our daughter, and it just felt so good. And she went up to our son-in-law and said, Kurt, I have good news and bad news. And he said, well, what is it? And she said, well, it's the same. This feels like home. And he understood that she might stay longer than he imagined. some people say that guests are like fresh fish. They're good for about 3 days. And other people say, when you pick your bed for the guest room, it should be a bed that is only comfortable for a few days. It should have some lumps in or something like that. Maybe it feels good that first night, and then after a while, people are saying, I don't want to stay. And yet God is saying to Israel, I want to move in. I want to move in. So make me a place and make it nice. I want it a certain way. I want my room really nice. I want badger skins and I like all these colors, gold and silver and bronze. I want expensive big rocks, gems and jewels. That's what the Lord is saying to Israel. I want a nice place. Don't give me the guest room. I want the best room in your house. And yet, saying that, the Lord isn't demanding that anyone do anything for him. And he gives instruction to Moses and says, only receive offerings for this house from people whose hearts stir them and compel them to give. In other words, only those who really want to respond to God's love with loving generosity. No one who would feel like they were being abused by being asked. No one who would feel like they're being pressured to give. The Lord said, only those whose hearts stir them and force them to give. It's almost as if the person is compelled from the inside to give. I don't know if you've ever been compelled to give. I have. Maybe you've been compelled to sacrifice. Who has not been compelled by chocolate? The thought of chocolate can compel people. In this case, it was the thought of serving the Lord. You see, God enjoys being with his people. And can you imagine how amazing that news is? God says, I want to be with you. I want to stay. I didn't just get you out of Egypt so that I could leave you on your own. I want to stay. I'm going to go with you however long it takes until I get you to your destiny and get you set up, and then I'm going to stay there too. So God enjoys being with his people, and his people enjoy being with their God. And his people enjoy being together with one another and their God. That's why we gather here on Shabbat. It's not because we just have a habit of doing it. It's because we enjoy being with our God. And he enjoys being with us. And not only that, we enjoy being together and with our God. And this other amazing thing really struck me. God is showing that he's able to be present with his people. Almighty God, who is greater than all creation, is able to manifest his presence in time and space. The God of eternity, the God of the highest heavens, the God who is greater than the entire universe, is actually able to be present and dwell not only in heaven, but here on earth. The other thing that really struck me is that God is showing that he's committed to his people. This is not God who is arbitrary or capricious or has temporary emotions, feeling good. Have you ever been with people who say they love you? But a year later, they're not to be found. God is not like that. God will keep saying he loves you, but what's amazing is he stays. And he knows what we're like, and he stays. God shows that he's committed to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and their descendants. God said to Abraham, I'm going to bless the whole world through your descendants. He said the same to Isaac, to Jacob. And he actually keeps his commitments. He keeps showing himself faithful to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In the realm of eternity, they're with God and they're present. And God is still doing what he said he was going to do. And he doesn't make excuses. He doesn't say, you know, this is taking a lot longer than I thought. And these people are a lot harder than I thought to work with. I can't keep up with this. I know I promised, but I didn't know what I was getting into. God is not like that. That's why the scripture says he's not a man that he would lie. You know what's fascinating about that? It's a way of saying all men lie. So look at a man in the room and say, you're a liar. No, that doesn't sound good, does it? But what it means is something. You and I know we'll overpromise about something. Isn't it true? We will fail to deliver. We will say we're going to be consistent and we'll be up and down. I mean, we have good intentions. But God does not talk about his intentions. He only promises what he will deliver. And we see that God will fulfill every promise he made to Israel's patriarchs and matriarchs. What he said to Abraham and Sarah, he is going to fulfill. So God brings Israel out of Egypt, but he doesn't just leave them on their own. I can imagine another God, not our God, getting Israel across the Red Sea and saying, well, that should do it. See ya. Yeah, meet you there. Or just saying, well, I guess you guys can take it from here. The Lord says, I want to be with you. I'm going to go with you. And when it's time to move, every time I'll get up and I'll move so you can follow me. Even with all of Israel's problems, all her weaknesses, all her sins and failures, God expresses commitment and love. And that's why it's favor. You see, the favor and the grace of the new covenant is an extension of the favor and grace of the covenant God made with Abraham and with Isaac and with Jacob and their descendants and the covenant at Sinai. It is a covenant of favor because it's undeserved. It's a covenant of favor because it's unmerited. We can't do enough on our own to earn this kind of favor. Not something we've earned. You see, when Israel was building this house for the Lord, it wasn't in order to earn God's favor. It was in response to God's favor. The commandments that are given by God are not how you earn a right relationship with Him. They are our response to being in a right relationship with Him. Because we're saying, God, You can boss me around. You can define what is good, and I will do it. And the things that we do as a community in worship are just a reflection of God's grace towards us. They're not the means by which we earn our place with God. Shabbat has a purpose for us. It will be useful to us. That's why Yeshua said Shabbat was made for man, because we need it. But it's not by keeping Shabbat that you earn favor with God. It's God has poured out favor that He wants you to enter into, and when you stop and allow Shabbat to be your time of rest with God and with God's people, then the blessings of Shabbat come upon you. You know, some people feel that we have to deserve God's love even to earn it. Many people feel that they can't come to God because they're not good enough. And yet, we are the ones who need to come to God. You cannot improve yourself enough to deserve God's love. And we understand that only when we realize God is perfectly holy and He has perfect standards, and you and I can never be good enough. You can turn away from whatever pulls you away from God, anything that separates you from God, and you can turn to God and go with Him. But the reason you can do that is because God's pouring out favor in your direction already. And He's calling you. Do you hear His voice calling you, saying, I want to be with you. I want to go with you. I want you to go with me. He's calling us, and He's watching to see who responds. You can turn to God and you can go with Him. But you can't earn God's love, and the reason is it's family love. It's unearnable love. We've got Eric, are you back there with your daughter? Yes, standing up. She can't earn your love. It just comes out of you towards her because it's in you to give. There are a bunch of parents here who have brought their little children, their parents with older children too, and there are some who have teenagers even. And everyone knows, I hate to say this, teenagers, but teenagers can't earn their parents' love. It's not possible. And it's not because of the condition of being a teenager, it's because your parents will love you anyway. There is a kind of love that belongs to a family that is yours simply because you're in the family. You're born into the family, and the family loves you. God, who is the Father of Israel and the Father of the whole world and everyone in it, has love that's abounding and ready to be expressed to you. It's not that you can earn it, though. It's that it's there. His love is ready to be expressed and experienced, but you have to respond to it. If you grow dull or neutral towards the love of God, you may not even notice that you're experiencing it. Because God loves us first, we're able to love Him and others. Our human nature actually requires love and attention. Little babies who are denied physical love and physical attention and are not given care, they will not develop correctly. People who grew up in homes where they were not cared for well, they suffer for it. It is our human nature to need love, and God knows that, and that's why He's pouring out love to us. God is committed to us, and He wants a responsive commitment. It's only those whose hearts are moved and whose hearts are stirred who He wants to receive offerings from. He takes from those who freely give. And He builds with the committed. That's the nature of God. Now, when it comes to God's favor, I think most of us face some temptations. One temptation is this. We think we're not good enough, that we're so bad that we can never be worthy of God's favor. And I say it's a temptation because it distorts the reality. In reality, we can't be good enough. But that does not disqualify us from God's favor or from His love. There's another temptation, which is we think that somehow we are good enough and we deserve God's favor. And we start wagging our finger at God. Why aren't you doing these things? I deserve it all. Why am I having this problem and this difficulty? It shouldn't happen. If you really are God, you shouldn't do that. So you've got this inferiority side and you've got this superiority side, and both of them are wrong. And at some point, we just need to lose that battle. And instead of saying we're worthy, we say, I'm unworthy, but you're worthy. And I could never be good enough to deserve your love. And yet you love me, and I love you. It's so much more freeing to take that position than to be caught in the other two struggles. God loves us because we're so good. That's not the reason. It's God loves us because He is so good. Why does the mother love her baby child? Because the baby's so good? No, because the mother has overflowing love. God's goodness affects us for the good. I want to close tonight by giving thanks to the Lord. And maybe some of you can join me in saying these things. You have been good to me, Lord. You have been kind to me. You have done far more for me than I ever could do for you. And the life that I had made for myself would have been filled with much more sorrow and much less comfort and much more hardship and much less blessing than what you have given to me. Lord, I thank you in this sanctuary. Let it be, Lord, that you can dwell with us. You can dwell in us, and you can dwell among us, and that it becomes true what the psalmist said in Psalm 133. Hine matov umanaim shevetachim gam yachad. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for the brothers and the sisters to dwell together in unity, because there the Lord orders a blessing, life forevermore. Thank you, Lord, that you have commanded blessings to be ours. We thank you in Yeshua's name. Amen. Amen. We're going to close with some opportunities to bless people. Now, I think because of the nature of these traditions, these good Jewish traditions, which involve, for instance, blessing your children, that's from Numbers 6:24, or from Proverbs 31, blessing your wives, that some people may feel left out, like people who aren't wives or don't have wives. But here's the good news, that God has a blessing for every one of us anyway. And so if you're alive, you can receive blessings. You can receive blessings today. If you have children and they're not present, you can still bless them from here. And so let's all of us who have children, whether they're in the room or not, let's take a position of blessing. If your children are in the room, children, come to your parents, however old you may be or young you may be. So sit with your family. I'll give you time to move. I'm very patient, not in a hurry. And if you don't have children in the room, but you do have children, like, aim in their direction your blessings. They may be living out of town or across the city or somewhere. And and speak these words to your sons. Yesimcha Elohim Kephraim Vachim Nasha. May God make you as Ephraim and Manasha, the sons of Joseph, who came into their fullness and who preserved faithfulness in the God of Israel and became patriarchs among your people Israel. If you have daughters, pray this blessing. Yesimech Elohim Kasara Rivka Rachel Valea. May God make you as Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah, and may God use you to bring increase to His people Israel. Amen. If you are with a wife of your own, gather her close. This is a special time because you even get to kiss your wife more than once. So what do you do at synagogue? Oh, well, we were kissing. And join me in these words from Proverbs 31. Eshet chayil mi yimtza varachok mipninim mikra. Patach ba lev bala vashalal lo yechsar. A woman of valor, who can find? I did. She is worth far more than precious jewels. The heart of her husband safely trusts in her, and he profits greatly thereby. That deserves another kiss. And now, everyone, would you please stand? No one alone. Everyone together with someone. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha ye'er Adonai panavelecha v'chunecha yisa Adonai panavelecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep watch over you and protect you. The Lord cause the light of His face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you with all of His favor. The Lord lift up His face to you and give you His shalom. In the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Amen. Shabbat shalom. Come join us for Oneg.